Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in, and we hope that you listen for the duration of the program, but we intend to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you would like for us to spend time and study on the program, please feel free to contact us at the address given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. You know, disease and sickness are a part of life, and death, the end of physical life, is inevitable. Yes, we are all sinners, and we deserve to die, but the reality is that we all die physically in Adam. In Romans chapter 5, it's verse 12, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all have sinned." And two, a similar passage found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Notice what we have in verse 22. It says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." We all die because Adam and Eve sinned. It was a consequence that God announced at the beginning when he placed them in the Garden of Eden, commanding them to obey him, and he offered life forever if they obeyed. He gave them access to the tree of life, of which they could eat and live forever. We see that in Genesis chapter 2, there in the 16th verse. "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat." And then, when we find that they sinned, here's what we read in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 22. He says, "The Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he had taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the end of the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life." So also, we find that God gave them access so that they could eat of that. He also warned them in Genesis 2 and verse 17, that of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that in the day that they eat thereof, you shall surely die. So despite the curse of death against the human race, there are health and wealth preachers out there who rake in big bucks by claiming to miraculously heal men in the name of Jesus, and they promise wealth to those that are generously willing to give to their ministers. The more one gives to them, they promise, the more the Lord will fill their personal coffers. Their, quote, ministry of healing, end of quote, is, they claim, an extension of the work of Jesus and the apostles. They don't bother to tell their contributors that the purpose of Jesus' miracles and the role of these mighty works in the mission of the apostles. But that we can find and determine very clearly from the scriptures. Jesus did not come to rid this world of disease and sickness during his personal time here on earth. If he did, he failed miserably. Even his tireless workers, the Apostle Paul, suffered an abundance of afflictions in the flesh. Epaphroditus was a dedicated messenger and a servant in the church at Philippi, but yet he was sick unto death. And Timothy, the selfless evangelist at Ephesus, had a stomach ailment that the Lord did not remove. We read all of this. We don't have time to read on the program at this point, but we read about it in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10. We read about it in Philippians 2, verses 25 through 29. And we read about it in 1 Timothy 5, in verse 23. That passage in 2 Corinthians 12 was concerning the things that Paul suffered. The thing in Philippians 2 was concerning Epaphroditus, and 1 Timothy 5 was Paul's instruction to Timothy concerning his physical ailment. And two, beyond all of this, all these men died. Yes, Jesus miraculously healed the sick, many of them. But these healings, along with other notable miracles, were displays of divine power, the divine power that the Jewish nation and the world needed in order that they might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by belief they might have life in his name. We find that specifically stated in John chapter 20. Notice what we have in verses 30 and 31. Truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. See, friends, that was the purpose for Jesus' miracles. Then when we look at the apostles, they worked the same signs that Jesus did. But again, they weren't designed to remove poverty and death from this evil world. The apostles did what Jesus did to confirm what the gospel, the good news of salvation, which they preached, was revealed to them by God. Let's notice in Matthew chapter 16. There in that passage beginning, let's begin reading at verse 17. Jesus answered and said to them, Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Christ, Jesus the Christ. While we're here in Matthew, let's look at the statement recorded in Hebrews chapter 2. Beginning in verse 3, it says, How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. So we see that the apostles did what Jesus did to confirm that gospel of salvation that they was preaching, that it came, that it was revealed to them by God. And after their work and the revelation of the gospel was complete, then these supernatural powers ceased. And we read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when we look there, beginning reading at verse 8. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. We know that this is talking about the spiritual, the miraculous spiritual gifts, because 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14 deal with these miraculous spiritual gifts. It's in chapter 12 that these spiritual gifts are listed for us, and there are 9 all total. And although we have but just only 3 mentioned here in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8, these 3 stand to represent the whole. These 3 stand to represent all 9 of the miraculous spiritual gifts. And so they're going to fail. They're going to fall. They're going to cease, and they're going to vanish away. And then it goes on in verse 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. We know that when the gospel, the New Testament, was being in the process of being revealed, it was required that these miraculous spiritual gifts exist. But in verse 10, but when that which is in part has come, then that, I'm reading the passage wrong, I'm sorry, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So the perfect is the complete revelation, the full, finished revelation of God's will, the New Testament. When that comes, then all of these things that were necessary to bring that fulfillment and completeness about will be done away with. So then, moreover, it never seems to cross the minds of these health and wealth preachers to tell the listeners that Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, because covetousness and love of money are not only idolatry, and not only is it the root of all kinds of evil, but they are snares that lead men astray into temptation and into destruction. Colossians 3 and verse 5 is one of those passages that says so. Therefore put to death your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passions, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. But know again that the Apostle Paul had often found himself in want as far as material things, suffering from hunger and thirst and nakedness, and recall how many of the first century Christians were destitute and needed the benevolent care of their brethren. We read about it in Acts 2. We read about it in Acts 4. We see it again in Acts 11, and we see that's what it was all about in 1 Corinthians 16, in those first 3 verses. And parallel to these needs are the tribulations and the persecution that Christians had to endure at the hands of Rome. They, as Paul, were beaten, imprisoned, sentenced to death. The book of Revelation was written to 7 churches of Asia. They were sharing tribulation with the Apostle John, who had been exiled himself to the island of Patmos because he preached Christ. They were warned that they were about to suffer and to be cast into prison. And the Lord didn't promise that they would escape these things, but he tells them, fear not, and be faithful unto death. Revelations 2 and verse 10. And friends, none of this has changed. Disease and death are all around us. These things prevail in the lives of some of God's most faithful disciples. Remember, however, that none of these things can separate us from the love of God. God's love, God loves us despite the consequences of sin that we must face in this life. The tribulations, the persecution, sickness, and death, none of these things takes us from God's love, the gift of His Son, and the hope that He's provided for us beyond this life. God's children are far more than conquerors of the trials that we must endure faithfully, because God loves them, God justifies them, and God glorifies them in His Son. Not now, but in the life to come, will Christians have wealth untold and freedom from sickness, suffering, and death. And for that, we need to patiently wait for the coming of the Lord. Our time is up. Thank you for listening. We hope that you tune in tomorrow. It's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we turn you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastafferettville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.